Hi, welcome back to Shop Talk with the Sheriff. I'm Sheriff Gregory Tony here in Broward County. Excited to bring another special guest on today. We're going to talk about just some of our local heroes, bringing some talking points. Today's guest is actually a good colleague and friend of mine. Had a chance to meet this young lady about 2.5 years ago when I came into the office. Super active, always engaged in the community, taking on a ton of different responsibilities. A member of the Sheriff's Foundation of Broward County, but also have been a huge advocate and leader within Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, an organization that works on a national scale to do as much as they can to educate, inform, and help mitigate DUI accidents and drunk drivers because of the enormous impact they have on individuals' lives. So today's special guest is Heather Geronimus here in Broward County. Welcome, glad to have you on with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, I want to dive into a couple of things. First, you know, fill in the blanks. Tell the community a little bit about yourself. What was the driving forces to get you involved in MAD and all the other different activities you work, you're involved in here in Broward County and outside of Broward County?
Well, how long do we have? That's a lot of things. I'll start with...
Slim it down a little bit. Give me the short condensed version.
I'll give you the condensed version, but I'm going to start when I was like 3 years old, but it's going to be fast, I promise. Really from my earliest memories, I've been serving our community. I grew up kind of between here and New York, but one of my fondest memories and first memories is walking through the Broward Mall with my mother when we were trying to get people to help us with a fundraiser for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. The fundraiser was called the Ugliest Bartender Contest, and I was wearing a shirt that said, "Hug me, I'm ugly." And a horrified woman in the mall came up to my mother and said, "Why would you let your child wear that shirt?" And I told her what he meant, which was understanding, giving, loving you. And then I told her about MS, and I was like 5. So, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I don't come to my service of the community. I come to it for my family, you know, for my mom, for my dad, for my grandma. And my whole life I've served nonprofits here in New York. And then my life took a turn in 2009 where I needed a nonprofit as opposed to being able to serve a nonprofit. So as you mentioned, I serve Mothers Against Drunk Driving very proudly here in Broward County and as the national board chair for our national organization. Back in 2009, my father was struck and killed by a drunk driver who hit him and ran. And my dad died in the middle of the street and on Brickell down in Miami. And my life changed forever. You know, all of the things that come with being a crime victim that obviously I never thought would happen to me started happening, you know, dealing with law enforcement in a way as a victim and being, you know, a child with a woman without a father. And MAD was there. And MAD, you know, we serve victims 24/7, really one every 8 minutes to get through all of those things, having to see the person that killed my father in court, having to give a victim speech, doing TV interviews, doing podcasts. I never did that before. Cool. So MAD helped me get through that year, which it took to put the person in prison that killed my father. And then I wanted to help MAD. And I kind of took a survey of what Broward County looked like. Because when I grew up here, when I went to high school, I knew that there was no, drinking and driving was a non-starter. You could not drink and drive in Broward County because you were going to get pulled over. In 2010, when I started really, my consciousness was raised about this issue. That wasn't the atmosphere. And, I worked to change that. I worked with MAD to start a 5K. And we moved it into your to have the meetings, and we started working hand in glove with the DUI task force. And you know, you have been so welcoming to me since you took office. So I really feel like we're working together for a safer community. We also down the street, Fort Lauderdale PD popped up a DUI task force as well. So your guys aren't the only guys in Broward County. So we've really made a lot of impact. If my dad died to save a lot of other people, there's a little bit higher purpose.
Yeah, look, there's nothing like a personal story. You know, there's always a personal story behind different causes, different peoples, different companies. Yours started 2009 with a tragic moment, but you turned it into something positive that's impacting God knows how many hundreds to thousands of people's, you know, lives here in the state and outside the state. And, you know, just on a personal side, in 2009, When your father was being struck by a drunk driver, I was being struck by a drunk driver in 2009 in a car. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I survived the car accident, which should have taken my life. Was in the hospital, surgery. It cut me down the middle, had to stitch stuff back together. But it's interesting, you know, to be a survivor on one side, whereas perhaps somebody in my family could have been telling a story similar to yours. So, you know, deep, Matt's personal to me, the activities and things that you all are doing. I'm glad to see you're still hungry and driven, you know, pushing this message out here. Where do you see things headed in the future? You know, you've been involved since 2009, learning, seeing things change. What's next for us as far as law enforcement and Matt goes in the community?
So what's next, what's immediately next is that we just have to stay vigilant, right? So I have to do my part and help MAD educate the public, and you have to do your part and help the DUI task force take these offenders off the street and really, and you know, they have to be sentenced to real time, right? They can't just be, it can't be slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like harsher ignition interlock laws in the state of Florida would really help us. We don't have first time offender laws right now. That's something to work on in Tallahassee. It's something we've tried to work on in Tallahassee, and we haven't gotten it in the state of Florida, but 30 other states have them. But the really exciting monumental stuff that we're working on at the national level is mandates for in-vehicle technology that will stop drunk driving before it starts. Basically the same technology that stops you from backing into something in a newer vehicle. It could be turned on, equipped to stop drunk driving behaviors or patterns. We're working on the Ride and the Halt Act in Congress and in Senate. Which would be mandates. They, you know, that would mandate that technology. But you know as well as I do that even if that happened tomorrow, a full fleet change of cars would be maybe not even in our lifetime. So we still have to do all the things that we're doing so well in Broward County. And we have to, you know, translate that to Miami-Dade and other counties to continue to stay vigilant and to have, you know, to raise awareness that drunk driving is something that never should have affected you. And it never should have affected me, because it's not a disease that needs a cure. It's something that we all have the power to stop doing immediately.
And you know what? Just because there's longevity in the plan for use of technology and what you mentioned, that it takes time to convert vehicles, things of that nature, doesn't mean that it's the current future or responsibility for us to do this for the future to keep these things going, right? Because time blows by pretty quick. And absolutely. I remember thinking back to different things in my life and say, oh, 20 years from now, and it seemed like a lifetime. Well, guess what? 20 years passed already. And so if we start these initiatives now, something that may seem far-fetched into the future turns into tomorrow. So, you know, you got to keep pushing and fighting those battles. So Matt's a big thing. I know your engagement there. You highlighted some of the work that you're doing and have done. But then there's also another, you know, baby of yours, another passion that you're involved in. You talk about the Sheriff's Foundation of Broward County. And how long have you been involved with that? I know what it is, but the people listening may not know. Sure. How long you've been involved with the foundation? What's your role there? What do you, you know, talk to the community?
Absolutely. So the Sheriff's Foundation is a terrific organization that I don't think a lot of people know about. And we've been working on that. I think we had a really great momentum pre-pandemic, and then we kind of had to shut everything down like everybody else. Right. The Broward Sheriff's Foundation supports your office, the Broward Sheriff's Office, agnostic of who's in the office, you know, through different programs. You know, we have crime prevention education. We have anti-terrorism. We support fallen heroes when, God forbid, that happens to our officers that protect us. And we do this through a board of directors, which I've served on. I think this is my sixth year. This year as chair, one of the very few female chairs that we've had in Broward County. And proud to be there. And you know, what we do, there's a lot of behind the scenes. I mean, the fallen officer support is so unseen. And it's so important. I mean, we had a widow, Deputy Nim's widow, who got off the plane, and we were there. You know, supporting her and her young children with financial support, but also really just moral support. When, you know, wow. As a crime victim myself, I know I've been there. So that's so important to me. The anti-terrorism training that we provide, nobody should ever have to see what we've done, but that's amazing. That's the team. And when the SWAT teams come and tell us about it, it's incredible. It's a little bit above my head as a civilian, but I know that it's needed in order for us to be the safest county that we can. And then the thing that really lights me up and the way that I got introduced to the foundation is the crime prevention initiatives that we do. So on behalf of the sheriff's office, we get involved with charities like MAD, like Handy, like Women in Distress. And we support programs and initiatives that, financially that the sheriff's office wouldn't be able to support, but that we can support have these partnerships to create high touch relationships before crime occurs.
Can you talk a little, you're in a role. And I just want to dive into some of the more specific stuff so the community can hear. Can you talk a little bit about maybe one of the projects you all recently supported with Handy or any of the other groups?
Absolutely. So there's a couple things that are really exciting that we've done.
That's all right. It's not like we're live and people are listening.
I'm sorry. My dog just showed up. we get involved with Handy in a number of ways, through mentorship, we also have, in a normal year, we have a paintball tournament where we get teams of kids at Handy to come out and do a paintball tournament. The money goes to Handy, but they get to have a fun and engaging day where they're partnered with law enforcement officials. The organizations that we're supporting are some of the most at risk youth in our community. And I think one of the most important things to me is to get those kids partnered with law enforcement to see law enforcement in a positive light before an arrest or something occurs. So, same thing with Pace Center for Girls, another nonprofit that we support that is very tied with law enforcement, where we're able to create those mentoring and just relationships that really create positive interaction. So we know that, the police are here to protect us, not against us. So that's one of the best things that I think that the Sheriff's Foundation is able to take advantage of, on behalf of the office, in partnership with the office. And it's a little bit more high visibility than some of the other things that we do. But one thing that's really for everyone, and this year it's really for everyone, is the Broward Mental Health Summit. It'll be our fourth year for the Mental Health Summit. It sprung out of the need of, what happened at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. We realized that our community needed a mental health conversation. And we had, a couple in-person events. And then we had last September, we flipped it to a virtual event, which was really impactful. And this year we're going to have an in-person and virtual event in September, and it's going to be completely free of charge to the community, because we know that the community is hurting. Mental health is an issue for everyone now.
That was going to be my next question for you, was how are you all handling the pivot and dealing with COVID-19, whereas so many of the events have been focused on in-person, the human touch, the engagement, but the whole world got shut down. So, what were some of the obstacles that you had to overcome over the last year?
So great question. Mm-hmm. Great question. I mean, we, our meetings for a while were virtual, not in person. Our events that we put on that help us raise money to support these things that we do in the community were put on hold. But thanks to the generosity of UKG and Lipton Toyota and other sponsors that we have, we were able to keep going, and we were able to keep providing support to throughout the community. And anytime, the SWAT team came to us and said, we need training, we could do it. And when MAD came to us and said, we'd like your support for different initiatives, we were able to do it. So really the corporate partners of the Sheriff's Foundation helped us sustain when things were hard. But I have to say the Mental Health Summit was the best show of force for our committees and our board, because we didn't miss a beat. Juan Arias, our executive director, just made sure that we could get into a studio and we could record everything that we needed to, and that community conversation still happened at a time where I think really we needed it most, and we still need it. So that's why we're giving it away for free this fall in September.
Now, look, outstanding. I mean, the entire foundation, the amount of work and support that you've all provided to the agency, for the entire county over the last two and a half years now that I've been in office, it's just been remarkable. For those of you who are just kind of coming in a little bit late, we're talking today with special guest Heather Geronimus, who it leads up both so many different facets between public safety and community activity with MAD, as well as being one of our board members with the Sheriff's Foundation. So we've been chatting it up, talking about some of the driving forces behind what she's been involved in and why. There's always the important why do you do what you do. And so I'm going to pivot back into our conversational points. We still have a few more minutes. You know, another thing I would want to bring to the community attention is the importance behind bringing in more solid members to join the Sheriff's Foundation, to get involved with MAD. Let's break that down per group. You know, what are you looking for as a board member when you all are recruiting and trying to get more businesses and individuals involved in the Sheriff's Foundation?
So in the Sheriff's Foundation, and really in any board, you're looking for folks that can connect, right? So obviously we need mission-driven people. If someone's not a believer in the power of connecting with law enforcement before bad things happen, they're probably in the wrong place, right? You have to, you know, want to understand the needs, both sides of the issue. So there's the community set perspective and there's the law enforcement perspective. And I have a special kind of front row seat for the last 12 years that I never expected that I would have had because of my relationship with law enforcement, because I was really protected and supported by law enforcement in addition to being protected and supported by MAD. So you have to have folks for the Broward Sheriff's Foundation that want to have that kind of inside look and care about the relationships in our community and care about protecting our community at a high level. And, you know, we have membership, so you can visit the Broward Sheriff's Foundation website. You can become a member, which gives you access to events and information. And, you know, then you can look at board service after a certain number of years of membership. But we really encourage the community to join us as members, to be a part of what we do and learn about the different aspects of our community engagement. And, you know, just like me, I was, part of the Sheriff's Foundation as a member for a few years. And because of my relationship with MAD, and then I was recruited, you know, and here I am as the chair. But it's really all about caring for the community. And then, of course, as a board member, we expect people to be able to, in any board, expect people to be able to fundraise and bring more people to the cause, more corporate sponsors, more board members, more philanthropic relationships, because it really takes the whole community to make that board strong. It's not just the group sitting around the table.
You ran pretty quick, but I just want to make sure we give another opportunity for those who are listening in terms of contact information or website for the Sheriff's Foundation. And then also let's talk, make sure people know how to reach you at MAD.
Absolutely. So you can visit the Sheriff's Foundation website at BrowardSheriffsFoundation.org. You can reach MAD at MAD.org/Florida to reach the state of Florida. And of course, we're all on social media. So you can find the Broward Sheriff's Foundation on Facebook, on Instagram, and you can find Mothers Against Drunk Driving on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. And I'm sorry, I talk very fast.
No, that's fine. They can always play it back and hit rewind. So we'll be good to go. One other thing I will, pose to you as far as the question is, what is it that you're hoping weekend or what do you think we need to be aware of coming into 4th of July holiday weekend, things that you've seen in the past when it comes to the correlation with alcohol, any warnings, suggestions, or anything that you would want to provide to the community?
I'm glad you asked. So this weekend starts, Memorial Day weekend starts off the 100 deadliest days on our roadways in our country. This is the time where more people die than ever during the year. And I just have to say, as a person who lost my father during, a happy time, it was the beginning of a new year. It was 4 days before his birthday. There's no worse way to celebrate something than to end up with a tragedy. And it's just, alcohol and celebrations go hand in hand. And I would just, plead with the community to, you plan ahead for your parties, you plan ahead for your dinners out and your outfit. Just take that one more step and plan ahead for a safe way home. It really doesn't take that much more effort, particularly in the, we have Uber, we have public transportation, we have, you could hire a driver. It's just that extra planning step that I think that people forget about. You don't accidentally end up at a bar with your car. But people just don't think about making that ahead of time decision, because you're not going to make the right decision when you've already had too many drinks. And the same is true for boating. All our friends at FWC will be out there this weekend and on all the long weekends looking for boaters. You can get a DUI in a car. You can get a BUI. You can also offend on a horse and I think a bike. You're the expert on that stuff. But it's really just planning ahead, because we don't, myself included, we don't want anyone not to celebrate. It's been a really hard 16 months. And I think that the thing that's I'm worried about happening is we're ready to party, right? We're ready to get out there. Outdoor celebrations are going to be en masse, and that's great. And, you know, I hope people do it in a safe way and are vaccinated if they believe in that. But I think that you have to make that plan, because God forbid you finally get to see your family members and then you don't make it home.
Well, look, I think that's a great message. It speaks a lot of truth to power, and it's something that the community should hear and take heed to. Again, you know, thank you for coming in and sharing some time today, some perspective, and all the great work you've been doing in honor, you know, ultimately in honor and the memory of your father. I'm sure he would be proud. As you know, a little moment of personal privilege. My wife worked with your dad and had spoke very highly. He was an outstanding individual and medical professional. So you're doing him very proud. I'm quite certain of that. So thanks for coming on to the show. Thanks for joining us here and spending some time and educating the people about some of the things that are available to them. And you're always welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Excellent. For everybody who decided to jump onto the podcast today, I'd like to say thank you for joining me on Shop Talk with the Sheriff. Remember to follow me on Instagram at BSO Sheriff Tony. It's not a stunt double. It's me. Also, subscribe to the podcast to get early alerts for every new episode. In the meantime, stay safe, be humble, and love somebody a little bit more than you love yourself. Take care.